The buck stops here for TC Boxes, the home of trays, canopies, toolboxes and dog boxes for the back of your ute.
It does indeed. The buck stops right here. And I tell you what, Bucks is on the couch tonight. No John O'Brown. So
looking forward to it.
And as am I, because I've got two pages full of stuff out of the weekend of footy. So I'll be interested to see what you've narrowed it down to. I'll give you my thoughts as well. And then lines are open. Jamie from Darlinghurst, great call. You'll be in the running for the caller of the year, the magnificent Toyota Hilux Rogue.
Well, I'm going to start off with, for any coaches that are feeling the pump out there or administrators that are feeling the pump, just win.
Just win.
Go and win. And that's exactly what St Kilda and Essendon did on the weekend.
Windhager, what a pickup. A hand pass to Membry. The give goes back and the skipper steeled himself and then marched away in triumph.
So I know the last 3 weeks we were all over Brett Ratten and St Kilda coming up against the form team in Carlton, but they got the job done. And then Ratten and Essendon against Sydney. And you know, you open the paper and Dave Noble and Ben Amafia apparently under heat because Jeff Walsh is there, and winning cures all ills.
Yes, it does, no question. But, you know, both those coaches you spoke about in terms of Ratten and Ratten, that was no good when they played against each other. But they actually coached more aggressively. Like, they made moves and did some things that were different. So all of a sudden, Max King, he's not left in that goal square to be the sole target. He was up on the wing in that last quarter, taking marks, being the connector. Membry pushes forward deeper. He kicks four. So all of a sudden, that's got a different look. Then I'm watching your game that you did, Essendon and Sydney, and I'm thinking, you know, at various stages, the Bombers are gone. But then Hobbs goes into the middle. So change the look up through the middle. Merrick's less possessions, more goals, different impact, you know.
And Darcy Parrish the same. I agree with all that, but I think we back announce a lot of that. There are things that coaches, like, so there are things that David Noble is doing now, changing, shifting, moving. None of them are coming to winning outcomes.
Yeah.
So we don't look back and go, oh, look, that's a good move. We're not seeing that. We're not able to commentate that because they're not winning.
Yeah, but we looked at Max King and we go, hey, you're going to Max King way, way too much. It's become unpredictable. You've got to get different options. The first four targets inside 50 in that game were Marshall, Ryder, Higgins and Membry.
But by half time, he was the most targeted player inside forward 50.
Yeah, but Membry kicks four goals. He takes three marks on the wing in the last quarter.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But he was still the most targeted player inside forward 50.
Yeah, but they still shared the load more.
Which was great.
And they won.
They did it because their ball movement
so
was better, because
hindsight.
Their contest was better, and because their defence was better. And so then all of a sudden, their forwards can pop.
I think you coaches get bloody-minded.
I'm part of the media, mate. I don't know what you're talking about. Number two, and while we're still on it, the young spirit of Essendon was awesome. And Zach Merritt made some comments about their leadership afterwards, but I want to address their young players after this.
Yeah, on your 3-11, obviously the fish rots at the head, and I feel like as leaders, we haven't been standing up enough for this young group. And you know, there's obviously a lot written about us as leaders, and you know, it's time that we responded and start to set the standard for those younger boys to follow. And it was nice to get a bit of reward today.
What I would say is a comment like that doesn't carry weight until you win. And when you win, then you get the platform to be able to say, hey, we could have been better here, there, or there. Mm. But the other thing is that Essendon are feeling a little bit of momentum in the way that they're playing, not just in their win-loss, but we mentioned it, Durham, Jones and Hobbs went bang, bang, bang. That the caller was talking about, the 5 minutes where they kicked four goals in the second quarter and his old man was happy. Mm. That was off the back of young enthusiasm, belief, really not knowing what it's like to do anything else than have a real crack at the contest. And that just bled through.
So the definition of stupidity, which is, this is just a saying, doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. 3 weeks ago, we looked at it and said, why hasn't Ben Hobbs had one centre bounce? He didn't give him one centre bounce when they're going through all this pain, the Essendon side.
Yeah, do you realise he was out of the side. So Perkins was a late.
No, this was a game when he was actually going to play.
Yeah, so Perkins was a late out. Hobbs comes back in, and then he doesn't go into the midfield until the last quarter. Has 11 touches.
Bang,
so
bang,
exactly. But there are circumstances, and yes, there's coaching moves. But the young boys were the ones. When I go
all
back
I'm
to
saying
the last
is,
one, the
when
young,
they were going like bustards, he wasn't given a chance in the centre square.
Understand, and he was a 4 or 5, 6 game player. It might not have been time for him, but the other things that happened with Essendon was Parrish, Merritt, Scheel played slightly different roles, less touches, more impact, and that was excellent to see.
Let me just read this up. Good morning, Gary. I'm not exactly sure what Bucks has taken, but ever since he went into the jungle, he's come across as the most practical and likable personality in the media.
Talk about a 360. It wouldn't be a 360, Gary. It'd be a 180, but let's move on.
Cop that after getting a nice compliment.
Well, it's a backhander. Daniel Rioli, breakout game. He's been in this role for a couple of months, and once again, shifts and little moves by Hardwick to rebuild and rewire Richmond. But Rioli's been brilliant.
Yeah, he's pretty dynamic, and you know, he's had a really good year from our point of view. And you look at the more damaging halfbacks, he would certainly be one of those high metres gained. What he's really, really improved is defensively. His intent in and around the contest is good, and you know, it's an area that he continually works on. But we've been really pleased with his development, and I'm sure he has as well.
So I reckon living with your coach when you first get recruited is probably a good career move. But obviously the connection between both Dimmer and Daniel Rioli's been strong. But Rioli's paying off this faith in spades, and he's been brilliant off the back. As has this guy, Nick Dacos. Has a young player ever come in and he's actually travelled under the radar for the most of this year, and his last three or four games have just popped him up. But Craig McRae's been pretty happy with him.
Yeah, he's in his first year, and you know, they put Holman to him in the third quarter to try to stifle his influence, and the game was there to be won, and we thought we'd move him forward. And then you put him into a role where he just, you know, the players were talking about it, he went into a stoppage and then started to organise others, and he's in his first year. We're really lucky to have him. He's an exceptional talent, no doubt in that. He just sees things others don't see. He's an elite decision maker.
It is a great story. It really is. I mean, yep. We've talked a lot about the Rising Star group, and they're exquisite, but gee whiz, what an influence he's had.
Well, I would suggest that he is in the top five cleanest players at ground level in the competition, and that is no mean feat just coming into the comp in your first year. He's played off halfback for the most of the time. We heard Hardwick just talk about Daniel Rioli improving his defensive capacity. Now, Nick will need to develop that, but right now, even playing as a halfback in amongst and around Howe, Moore, Maynard, Quainer, Noble, Murphy, these guys, and obviously the structure in front of him, the defensive aspects of Collingwood in their team defence and their pressure on ball allows him and his ball winning and use and capacity to impact the game in other areas other than just the one-on-one. And he wins one-on-ones. But right now he doesn't have to defend as much, and we're seeing his boys come to the fore. 37 touches, that clean take from clearance that went 50 metres laterally across the ground to his brother without breaking stride to kick a goal to put them in striking distance.
I've got your first year in front of me. A different game back then. You probably had to win your ball more rather than have it given to you. But your best was 34. Pretty good for first year, huh? 34 possessions. That was a nice game. You averaged just over 20. You had a lot of 30s. You had a very good first year as well.
That's not all about us, Gaz. Number five, I did not. No, number five, and the last one. We're getting to the pointy end of the year. The capacity of clubs to manage their players and to time their run, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, is going to be a challenge. But one interesting highlight that I wanted to look at was the way Geelong have managed Patrick Dangerfield, and Chris Scott had this to say after the game.
I was supremely confident that when he was feeling his best and had the right amount of training behind him, that he'd look as good as he did when he was 28. And I saw signs of that tonight. So that preparation he's had, it's easy to say it now. The proof, I think, will be over the next month or so. It's another reason for us to have some optimism.
And that is, managing your best players is crucial for all of the sides that are coming into finals. And we know that Geelong are one that are looking for different aspects to be able to push through. They get to the pointy end real often. But I think pump the brakes a little. Nat Fyfe, there was a lot of speculation about him. It's taken him a while to get up. So I don't think we're expecting Paddy Dangerfield to be his 28-year-old self. But having those sort of match-winning players in the right shape at the right time is something that every club will be challenged with.
Yeah, I get the feeling that this Thursday night is what Chris Scott has had his eye on for much of this season, given where the Cats are and the preliminary final result last year and where they want to be. Hey, Benko, I'm going to challenge. Of course I'm going to challenge Bucks. It's not about being the top dog. This is what we do here. Benko thinks that I don't have to hammer everything you say. That's part of what we do, Benko. Don't take it personally. Bucks knows what's going on.
Benko.
Hey, the buck stops here. Just win. The spirit of Essendon, the Daniel Rioli breakout, Nick Dacos and Dangerfield and the Cats. Don't forget to have the conversation with your mates, the Mosh Men's online health open line.